Normally, when you think of the book of Daniel, a lot of people think of prophecy, which is true, but it's not just a book about prophecy. And sometimes when people treat it that way, they make all kinds of assumptions that lead you to just miss the point.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Each, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Fantastic. Well. We're recording a little bit later than
normal. It's Monday afternoon.
So this is a beyond the message. Yeah. You've had some extra time to think about it. Jumping into a new series. Got kicked off with Daniel yesterday. And also, too, just a pretty eventful Sunday. We had the majority of our fall classes got kicked off.
Yeah, that was cool.
First round. We've got a kind of another wave coming up maybe 6-7 weeks from now.
What are all the classes we're doing?
Yep. So we started with Foundation, which used to be like Deeper Doctrine.
Yeah.
It's now Foundations Doctrine. Matthew started Doctrines of Grace.
Okay.
So he's teaching those at 8 and 9:30. I've got Christianity and Culture, which is kind of pairing with this series. So I was in a little bit of a pickle at 9:30. I was like, wait a second. We're going to have half – and it ended up being about half the class was at the 8 o'clock service and half the class was going to the 11 o'clock service.
Oh,
I'm like,
sure.
We're going to talk about Daniel 1 and some of the things that Jake taught about.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil them, but we might reference them.
They're worth repeating.
That was great. And then we had a new membership class. The new membership process started. So we've got
that was full.
12
that was,
weeks
yeah,
of that.
I walked up there after the message.
And I'm drawing a blank. Old Testament survey. Danny's starting that next week.
Okay.
And gospel-centered marriage. We had that at 9:30 going on yesterday.
Yeah, that was fun to see the upper level full of classes.
Yeah, pretty sweet that we've got like a fully realized vision of being able to have moving kids down here. Mm-hmm. Kind of the step two in that was not just hey, let's use our space well, but it was also let's create some more environments for Sunday morning equipping.
You talk about it. It's like it's happening.
We don't have to plan anymore. I don't have to do another spreadsheet. We're ready to go. It was great. But anyways,
spreadsheet.
All of that kicked off Daniel. And I don't know if you know this, but also our Bible reading plan, new Bible reading plan started yesterday. And we're going through the book of Revelation. Get Daniel and Revelation all at once.
Get them both.
It's going to be pretty sweet. So kicking off a new series. I feel like you probably could have gone with maybe another 15 to 20 minutes of like a historical exposition, just talking through context and
it
stuff.
It would have been great to just kind of do an overview of the book and then get into it, but we didn't.
Yeah, which maybe that would maybe be good to like even prep like sending out that like the Read Scripture, like the Bible Project video.
Sure,
like,
they kind of break down.
Here's an overview.
Yeah.
Like just so we're not jumping into it cold. And,
yeah.
But I already do know there were a lot of people that knew we were going into Daniel and just reading it, reading that
that's
for
great.
Themselves. So that's super sweet. Anyways, let's jump into it here on the podcast. We always have our first question. If you were to include something else in your message or expand, what would that be?
Oh, boy. There was so much in Daniel 1, especially looking at a narrative. There's just a lot into a story that you can draw out of. I mean, you see the blessing of God upon Daniel and his faithfulness. I mean, he's blessed physically. He's blessed socially, spiritually, mentally. It's not like there's a lot of blessing that's coming from God to Daniel, and just to get into understanding that the God is a God of he wants to bless his people, but trying to walk that line of like, if I do this, then do I get that, like kind of a prosperity type of gospel? Because despite all the blessing, it's like they're still in captivity.
Yep.
And the blessing was for the glorifying of God, not just the comfort of Daniel.
Right.
So we could have spent a lot of time talking about that.
Even in that, like even in their captivity, like God's sovereignty over that, it's not like he's coming in plan B and like using that. It's like, no, I brought this about because it's part of my plan.
Yeah.
Like that reality of like just God's power and ability to like make this happen, not so he can like just punish his people, but to refine and to prove his worthiness and his glory throughout all of that.
Yeah. So we kind of left that on the cutting room floor, but it would be great to talk about. Just even understanding Daniel, I mean, at the end here, we connected it to Christ. And you, normally when you think of the book of Daniel, a lot of people think of prophecy, mm-hmm. and which is true. There's a lot of prophecy in the book of Daniel, but it's not just a book about prophecy. And mm-hmm. sometimes when people treat it that way, they make all kinds of assumptions that leads you to just miss the point. But we'll get into some prophecy, but to not only understand prophecy, but typology.
Yep.
So a prophecy is a verbal prediction of the future. A typology is a nonverbal foreshadowing of the future.
Mm-hmm.
So what we saw in Daniel is he's a type of Christ, and there's yep. a foreshadowing that Christ was entered into our captivity, had a resolve to be faithful, remained faithful, and through his faithfulness were brought into yeah. the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar.
One of the books we have upstairs, it's like in the Tales That Tell the Truth series, the children's books, but it's Jesus in the Lion's Den. But it's the story of Daniel, and like the tagline is Jesus in the Lion's Den, a true story about how Daniel is a little bit like Jesus. And then it goes through and it tells yeah. like the connections of like the, you know, Jesus was like unfairly treated and like
yeah.
charged guilty of a crime. Like
Jesus is the hero of right. the Bible, and right. everything is pointing to him
yeah.
and is fulfilled in him. And we see that in Daniel as well.
Yeah.
So maybe explaining that a little bit more. There's a time in the message where we kind of talked about this is a wonderful moment to be in because it does bring you to a fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like Daniel being brought to Babylon was really like, who am I going to be?
Yeah.
Am I going to be faithful here, or am I just going to go along with things? And I know in my own story that I've shared before, like when I left to go to college in Arizona, I was the only kid from the Midwest. I didn't know anybody. And I remember feeling like I could be whoever I want to mm-hmm. be. Like, and I was in a situation where it's like you could get into a lot of the wrong kind of fun. And that was a defining moment of like, okay, will I still follow God in this context? And just to be able to unpack that for people in their own situations of you got to – who are you going to be and who are you going to serve? And we have a – when our culture doesn't, we have a wonderful opportunity mm-hmm. To follow Christ. So
yeah,
we – but yeah, there's a lot in Daniel 1.
Plenty more to go. It's like it's a whole chapter.
We did it in one sermon. I know. Well, next week, Michael's up with chapter 2, and there's like, I mean, there's a lot of verses. There's 47. I mean, it's a long chapter, but a wonderful account of God's faithfulness continuing.
Yeah, that's sweet. Cool. Hey, so second question, Jake, where do you see our church? You talked about resolve.
Mm-hmm.
So, like if you were to think of some themes when it's like this comes up often in shepherding context and conversations as we're, you know, meeting with people, where do you see our church needing a Daniel style resolve? Like the simple, like I'm not doing that. We're going to do this specifically for this reason. That could have pretty significant impact.
Sure. I think there's areas where you see come up a lot, and then there's areas that you're frustrated, why isn't this coming up a lot, that it's more embraced in our culture or even within the church and the culture. And I seem to fall back into the same examples given, you know, I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to wear that. I'm not going to say that. Like those are just how we talk, how we dress, how we entertain ourselves can be seen very much no different than the world.
Yeah.
So I think those are some resolves where like, come on guys, let's do better. Let's be different. We don't have to follow those trends and engage in that entertainment. We can draw a line there. But on a deeper level where you feel a fight on just giving into our emotions and giving our emotions such a high authority rather than confronting our emotions with the truth,
yeah,
and where anxiety and worry seems to reign high in even among Christians to say, like, I'm going to resolve not to be mastered by my emotions, but put my faith in the truth of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Like resolve to talk to yourself more than you listen to yourself on that. Hmm. But that's one that comes to mind. But I think there's just certain things where we should examine. It's like, okay, I know everybody watches that show, but I don't think that's honorable thing for a Christian to do.
Yeah.
And I know all your friends dress that way, and it may be seen as trendy or comfortable, but it's certainly not modest.
Yeah.
I think we need to be able to draw some lines in the sand and say, like, I'm not doing that. And to understand and we addressed it. It's frustrating to hear the mindset that those things, it's not that big a deal. And it's what you see in Daniel's. No, those little things do matter. And if mm-hmm. we want to build bigger things, they rest on top of little things.
Yeah.
So we need to take those seriously.
I think that was challenging yesterday. I don't know how I've missed this, or I've probably come across it at some point. But just you made this specific point of like the contrast that Daniel and his friends were being measured up to was unfaithful Israelites
mm-hmm.
that went along with eating the king. I don't know if I just always assumed it was like, oh, no, it's like other people. Just that like even the rest of the people that were brought along, mm-hmm. however many they were, we don't
sure.
know. Like these four guys were like, no, we're like,
yeah.
just because they are, we aren't. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously God shows up and worked through that.
Yeah.
So that seems like a pretty good reminder of like it. Just because you can point to 10 other people that are doing it doesn't mean that it's right or helpful.
Yeah.
Like where's your conscience? Like, are you following the Lord in that?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good. Okay. Third question here. You touched on sovereignty. And I think that could be a whole nother message in and of itself. We got to talk about that in our, in the Christianity and Culture class. But if we saw God's sovereignty in our version, or sorry, if we really saw God's sovereignty in our version of Babylon, what bold steps of obedience would you like to see our church stop delaying?
I mean, we reference Acts 4, mm-hmm. where the disciples, in the view of God's sovereignty, had greater boldness in sharing the gospel. I think that would be one of, hey, let's drop some J-bombs in those conversations and let's bring it up and go there. I think that's probably the first one that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Due to the, like, I don't, what comes to you, like, as a listener, was there anything that hit you that way?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I maybe this is kind of just fresh on my mind, but even thinking back to some of the conversations we had in when we were going through chapters 8 and 9, 2 Corinthians, and even then we had like our gospel-centered finance class, it seemed like it might have been the first time for a lot of people thinking about like, I have to have a plan for my retirement. Like, what does ministry look like? And like, if I don't have a plan for that, I'm probably not ready just to like have a bunch of time. Like,
That's good.
Thinking through, I think like strategically how we are like pursuing the Lord and being intentional with the gifts and the time and the abilities that we have for like, what are you calling me to do? Not just like, this seems like I want to do it, so I'm going to do it. Like
there are things where it feels like we've softened the language to what's really strong language in Scripture of when it comes to money. You can't serve two masters.
Yeah.
You can't do it. So like, let's resolve to put away our excuses that defend our own greed and putting ourselves first. When it comes to lust, when Jesus is like, gouge out your eye, cut off your hand. We got to stop thinking it's not a big deal to watch TV shows and movies full of nudity. Yeah. And it's just like, no. Well, it's just the Bible doesn't use soft language on it.
Yep.
So let's resolve to be holy. And I think that's that kind of conformity to the American culture, which is kind of like, it just doesn't seem that big a deal. And mm-hmm. everybody does that. And of course you got to, you know, plan for your retirement. It's like, totally you do. But do you got to do that before you're generous, or do you do that after you're right. generous? And yeah, a lot of people, there's, you know, it's not wrong to have Netflix and watch shows, but does it have to be that show?
Right.
And I think there's such this tendency to just be like, oh, I don't want to be legalistic. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nobody is saying that you have to or don't do this in order to be saved. That's legalism. That's your salvation is based on your obedience to the yeah. law. But don't use legalism as an excuse not to pursue holiness.
Yeah.
And Daniel is a great example of like, I'm not doing that. And then you see God's faithfulness mm-hmm. to Daniel. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, you honored me. Seek first the kingdom of God and see if not all these other right. things are added to you. Daniel sought first the kingdom of God, and you see the truth of that verse being played out. And all these things were added to him. He was taken care of. And I think we want to have that eagerness to find that out too. Seek first the kingdom of God. I mean, we've hit on this before, but just, you know, don't neglect the gathering. Like, let's – part of Israel's exile was they didn't keep the Sabbath. Now, you think about that, and when you look at our own situation where we so much have a culture of like, it's not that big a deal to miss church. Mm. Okay, but why do you think it's such a big deal to miss a tournament? We got to look in the mirror, and it's just like, okay, I think we got a lot of America on us.
Yeah.
And we need to be shaped more by the Word of God. And we're going to feel more so, I think, what it really means to be countercultural. Because it's like, well, wait a second. Is my kid going to be the only kid that doesn't go to that Sunday tournament? Am I going to be the only one in the office that hasn't seen that show? You know, am I going to be like, we're going to feel like, oh, I'm different. And it's like, yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
So,
and not from a place of like self-righteous holiness,
no.
but from a place of practical, like practical obedience.
Yeah.
Like it's actually worth it. Like
yeah.
It's not so much like I'm missing out to miss out so that people notice. It's I'm not really missing out because I'm actually focused on something that's better and more yeah. fulfilling.
Yeah. I remember with, our oldest Moses, he's on staff here now in high school, getting out of football practice early in the fall to make it to youth group. And there's like, Dad, I'm the only one leaving. And I was like, I know. That's awesome. Like, what a testimony. Like, yeah. I'm going to church. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm there. And it's like, just that, you know, stand presented a contrast. And how easy would it have been? It's like, hey, you can come an hour late. Mm-hmm. But guess what? You show no contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to present a contrast to the world. Like, hey, I'm valuing this mm-hmm. over that. If the church is not willing to show a contrast, we've lost our saltiness.
Mm-hmm. So. It's interesting. I think even just like reflecting on Daniel 1 from yesterday, it's like, what were the things that they went up – like. They went along with, like, we've been conquered. We are being mm. transported into yeah. Babylon. You're going to change our names. You're going to castrate us. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Yeah.
But we're not going to eat your food and yeah. worship your idols.
You got to go through our educational system.
But, great. Yeah. I'll do that.
But
I'm not going to be indoctrinated and just right. believe everything. Like yeah. I don't have to forfeit. And so I even just wonder, like, those kinds of things. As I just think about, like, our present culture, it seems like – as Christians, we're quick to jump on to things that other non-Christians are jumping on to fight against.
Mm.
But then we're kind of, you know, missing the forest for the trees mm. in the sense of like – I'm quick to get outraged about the stuff out there, but I'm really slow to check my own heart.
Yeah.
like in here, and just I think not being so focused on like, yeah, maybe we're not being called to like fight the people that are coming to haul us off into captivity into Babylon, but maybe you are, you know, needing to stand up and be like, hey, if it's all right with you, I don't want to eat that meat.
Yeah.
Can I like it, and you get, that's a whole nother, like, I'm not talking about, we just,
right. I remember talking as elders through Daniel, I think Garrett or one of the elders, I think it was Garrett, made a condemning point of like, Daniel's doing it in captivity. We're not doing it in freedom.
Hmm.
Like, Daniel's being forced into some things and he drew a line. We're not being forced into anything. And we like willingly will watch and gauge like, where like
recoloring lines. And
yeah. So it's like around. What he did in captivity, we refuse to do in freedom.
Hmm.
And that says something. So we should, hopefully this series will be a challenge, but also a motivator that when we do seek first the kingdom of God, God is faithful to meet us, to provide for us, to use us for his glory, and just to be inspired to, yeah, I want to live like that.
Right. So. Yeah, that's good. Okay, you had, I've got two big ideas. Was your like big idea your like your last one of?
There was a lot of medium-sized ideas.
Medium-sized ideas. No, you had – so God is faithful to his word, so we can be faithful to – or we can be faithful in this world.
Yeah.
That was kind of your last like rephrasing.
Right. If I was more theologically correct probably in that statement, I would say God is faithful to his word so we can be faithful in his world.
Yeah, it's that's his. True. Yeah, yeah. All right. So well, there's the third one. But also you had resolve to be obedient to God for closeness with God and impact for God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm pumped. I'm excited that we're in Daniel. We've never done Daniel as a church before.
No.
So I mean that means in my life of
yeah. I mean we're what 11 years old as a church when we're 66 years old. Then it's like
maybe we'll come back and do it again. Yeah. Like hey, we've got to go through this kid. But no, that's sweet. Yeah, I'm excited for the rest of this. We've got baptisms this next week.
Yeah,
that snuck up. We're like, here we are. We've got fall. We're doing it. We got classes and baptism, new series, and this is pretty exciting. So I'm looking forward to this next Sunday. And Jake, this was great. Thanks for kicking off this series. So, church, join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.